Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What to Read Next podcast helps you build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lori and Mean interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then the show's for you. Hi, Natalie. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So happy to have you here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I am Natalie Cagna. And I write contemporary Latinx rom-coms or contemporary, kind of depending. I like to think I'm funny, but who knows if other people think I'm funny. Yeah. My debut novel, A Proposal They Can't Refuse, I have the arc right here, comes out May 24th of this year. And it's basically about a Puerto Rican chef and a Irish American whiskey distiller who fake an engagement in order to outsmart their two devious grandfathers.
I love this. And are you your family Puerto Rican or?
Yes. So half of my family is Puerto Rican. Yeah. So my mother's side of the family is Puerto Rican and my father's side is Dominican.
I love this. So what part of Puerto Rico are they from? I'm from Puerto Rico. That's why.
Oh, really? Yeah. They are. So my mom's family is from Aguas Buenas.
Oh, cool. I'm from San Juan. So I grew up in San Juan. So, but yeah. Oh,
that's awesome.
This is awesome. And
Boricuas everywhere.
They are. And I live in New York, so I was close. Most of my friends in New York were Dominican. So, and even the part where I grew up in Puerto Rico, it's mainly Dominican, like Dominican neighborhood. Like there's like, I feel like growing up in Puerto Rico is like, it's a mix of Cuban, Dominican, and Puerto Rican. Like it's not this like just like you just like straight up Puerto Rican. I'm like, no, it's like a mix of culture, you know.
Oh yeah. My uncle who still lives in the Dominican Republic, his wife is Puerto Rican and they take like a ferry boat all the time right over to Puerto Rico. They're like, yeah, it's like 45 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, they just take the ferry and go back and forth and stuff like that. Yeah. So this is awesome. So what made you just start writing romance? Were you a romance reader or did you like, was it something you just like, oh, this will be fun to do?
So I got into romance writing in college. So I was a freshman and there was like a lot of family stuff going on and then just, you know, being a freshman in college and all that stuff. And I was like high stress, panic attacks all the time, anxiety through the roof. And I happened to be in my university bookshop and there was like a bin that said like, you know, buy these books for $1. Mm-hmm. And I just happened to pick up a Lisa Kleypas Mine Till Midnight.
Ooh, for $1?
For $1, which is so, it better be $1 because my school books were not $1, let me tell you.
Yeah.
They were a lot more than that. So yeah, I read that and I was like, oh my God, I found my thing. And then it went to like reading her whole backlist and then reading tons of other stuff. Oh, he's barking. My puppy is barking at the fake plant. He's very mad at it. But yeah, so I went from there. I started is reading as much romance as I can. And then I was in school for television production. I went to school for broadcasting and communications. And from there, let me just get this rope toy. And I tried to, you know, do my own writing and it all started way back then. And I've been writing ever since. But I feel like I was really kind of indoctrinated into the romance genre a long time ago. You know, telenovelas are
was gonna say
romance books on TV. Yeah.
Yes. Oh my gosh. So then we also had all the tropes: first lovers, fake engagement.
All the shenanigans, like everything.
Like it was just combined into one ever growing episode after another.
And so, they had like a definite end. There weren't like English like soap operas that have been on forever. And you knew the bad guys were going to get their comeuppance and the good guys were going to live happily ever after.
Yes.
Yeah. So
I have to say, I miss those telenovelas. Like the I grew up in the Mexican telenovelas and some of the some of the Miami ones. But I feel like right now the novelas are like what I see and what I perceive is a lot of cartel.
Yes,
it's a lot of like, and I'm like, where's the romance? You
know? Yeah,
it's a lot of cartel right now.
Yeah, and that's not my jam. That is not my jam at all.
No, I'm like, I want like Miami to get alive and be like, let's start doing some real telenovelas again. Let's start doing love stories, you know?
Right?
So,
like, what happened to Fernando Colunga and Araceli Arasula and all these ones with their, like, I don't want these cartel ones. I'm not interested in that.
Yeah, I'm not interested, but I feel like that's what I see in Telemundo. I haven't watched Univision in years, but Telemundo, that's basically what they have is cartels. And like, even Netflix had telenovelas and they're cartel. Like my mom was like, I was watching Fonde Flow or Reina del Flow or something like that. And it's about a reggaeton artist who happens to be involved in the Colombian cartel. So I'm like, it's still cartel.
Right.
So...
I know we need the good old days
back. The good old days back those when they were remake those because they'll remake them over and over and over,
you know?
So it is okay now we live through learning through writings and romance books are giving us that feel, you know.
So yeah, and hopefully we start to get, you know, other programs that pick up romance and all kinds of diverse romance, you know, and I would love to see like that on Netflix or Apple TV or any of those kinds of things, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So let's chat about a proposal they can refuse. Tell us a little bit.
A proposal they can't refuse, again, is about a Puerto Rican chef from Humboldt Park area of Chicago. And her family has owned this restaurant since the late 70s. But even then, like, it's very much an homage to her late grandmother. And so nothing can be changed. It's all very traditional. And for somebody who is trained in the culinary arts, it's comforting, but it's also stifling. Mm-hmm. In a lot of urban areas, you know, Humboldt Park is going through gentrification. Mm-hmm. And so it's like how much to embrace it, how much to fight against it. You know, do you pick up and leave and start somewhere else? Like, what do you do? And her family is really going through that. And most of them are of the idea that, you know, we stay until we can no longer stay. And we stay true to who we were and who we've always been until we can't anymore. And she's not of that mindset. She wants to mix both worlds and make something a little bit new and a little bit different because she wants to be able to stay for the long run. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, nobody's really on her side.
No.
Except for she has a very close relationship with her grandfather, Abuelo Papo. And he and his best friend, who is Irish immigrant, they're the devious duo, right? They get into all kinds of trouble all the time. She's constantly having to go bail them out of trouble at their senior folks' home because they're always doing something they shouldn't. And so they kind of come up with this plan to make her and, you know, the best friend's grandson get married because they've known their whole lives that these two are endgame, even though these two don't know that they're endgame. And so it becomes this thing of, you know, either you guys do what we say, or we're going to sell the building that houses both of these both of these family businesses, and you guys are SOL. You know? And so they're like, well, obviously we're not going to do that, right? That's just insanity. That's bananas. But they need to buy themselves some time. And that's where the whole fake engagement comes in. If they play along like they're going to do what the grandfathers say, they can kind of drag them along until they get accomplished what they need to get accomplished. And then they can, you know, sad, oh no, break up, didn't work out. Mm-hmm. But of course the grandfathers are a lot smarter than what they thought and come up with other shenanigans to bring them closer together.
I love this. And feelings ensue and just a happily ever after.
Yeah. And that's, the Irish grandfather, he has cancer and it is terminal. Aww. And so he wants to see his grandson settled and happy, you know, before everything. And so that's really at the root of all of them really going along with this, is to kind of make this work until they can.
So what was your journey to get published?
Oh my God, my journey to get published. This is not like many authors, right? This is not the first book I queried. This is not the first book I tried to get published. It's not the first book that I've written, but it is, I think, the book of my heart. And so I took a lot of time on this. It was a good like 5+ years because it was never quite right, right? Like we, as authors, we become perfectionists and we want it to be perfect. Especially because they tell you, make it as polished as possible before you send it out into query world. So it took a long time. I did a lot of rewrites. I think at one point there was a little too many chefs in the kitchen, and I lost my voice a bit. And then I tried, you know, pitch wars and didn't get picked and tried other things. And then I got chosen for author mentor match. Yeah. And I just got the best mentor ever. And she was just like, look, like these are the kind of the issues that I see. You know, I'm can be as involved as you want me to be, as uninvolved as you want me to be. She goes, but I think like your voice is good. You just need to trust it again. And, you know, those first ideas that I had, those were the ones that I ended up having to bring back and put back into the story to make it work and to make it what it is now. So after that, I'm a teacher in my day job, and I was teaching virtually, and I finished the draft on like a Sunday. And I told her, and I was like, oh my God, I finished this draft. I'm so excited. And she's like, yay, now write a query letter and a synopsis because we're going to start sending it out tomorrow. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
And I mean, luckily I kind of had some of that stuff already. I just had to tweak it a bit to fit the new story. And, you know, I woke up at 7 a.m. By 7:30, I was teaching for like a chunk of like 3 hours. And then I had a small break in there, sent out like that first group of like 12 queries with the synopsis and whatever they requested. And the craziest thing, by that evening, I had a full request. And then a little bit, like an hour later, I had another full request. And then at 3 o'clock in the morning that night, who is now my agent, emailed me and said, I stayed up reading this. I love this so much. I want, you know, to get on the phone and talk tomorrow. So within 24 hours, I had an offer of representation, which is like, I mean, it's bananas. It's unheard of. I still cannot wrap my mind around it. And so it took, you know, then I had to email all those people back and be like, please read it quickly because I don't know what I'm doing and I need to decide what to do. And then that was those 2 weeks that they usually give, you know, authors to be like, hey, do you want to sign with this agent or not? Ended up being on election day.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. And I was like, oh my God, I have to make like this huge decision. It was very, I mean, like everybody's kind of is going to be like, oh, please, I wish I had that problem. Right.
No, like it's a big decision.
But it's a huge decision. And then when you have this, you're like, oh my God, what if I make the wrong decision? Right. Mm-hmm. But eventually I just had to go with, you know, what I felt was going to be the best fit. And it worked out. We went very quickly after that on sub to try to sell it to publishers. And by Christmas, we sold it in auction.
Oh my God.
I can't. It's still something that it's very difficult for me to wrap my head around. And it seems like it happened so fast. But a lot of like my author friends are like, remember, but you put in so many years before that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's how I went through the whole thing to be published in it. And it's coming out in like less than 2 months.
Yeah.
Well, a little bit over 2 months.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love the story because I think in some ways, even though it felt like an overnight success, reality was that it took years to get there. Like there was a process. You were learning the craft, learning your voice, finding, yes. discovering, even just from the start, like discovering romance as a book, or even mm-hmm. growing up watching romance, like understanding the whole process.
Yeah.
It's a lifelong journey, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's what, like, I kind of have to keep telling myself that, right? Like, yes, it seemed like everything happened so fast and like, oh my God, how is this happening to me? But like, I have to keep reminding myself, like, girl, you put in the work. You put it in.
Yes, you put in the work. Ah, so good. So, all right. So let's chat about reading. So what are you currently reading?
So right now I am reading a lot of paranormal and fantasy. I think I kind of go through, you know, like phases of like, I'll read a ton of historical and then I'll read a ton of contemporary. And I think right now with just the world being what it is, mm-hmm. Trying to move away from that a little bit, you know, even though all these fantasies and paranormals have pretty like worse things going on, but it's nice to move away from like human monsters into like fake monsters. So I've been doing a lot of that lately. I think probably since like fall of last year.
All right. So do you have any recommendations to someone who's like needs to dive into paranormal slowly or surely or fantasy just because?
Yeah. I feel like I need to like duck and hide right now because I just got into Sarah J. Maas.
Yeah.
I just got into her at the end of last year. Mm-hmm. So since then I've read like the Throne of Glass series and mm-hmm. the Court of Roses and Thorns.
Yep.
That whole both of those series and started the new one. And I love her characters. Mm-hmm. I love that her characters are flawed from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. And even though they put in so much work, they're still flawed at the end. Mm-hmm. Right? Like they go through so much growth and so much change, but they don't turn into something completely different than what they were. And I think that in a way that's pretty hopeful, right? Because like we're all flawed and it's hard. It's hard to be a person that doesn't suck sometimes. Mm-hmm. And knowing that like you're never gonna be perfect. So that's automatically off the table. And all you can just do is be the best version of yourself.
It just, it's hopeful.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes, I finished Crescent City a few weeks ago, and I'm not ready for book two, so I'm waiting. I'm gonna wait, you know. But Sarah J. Maas is my go-to vacation books. Like, I binge on them, like, throughout the vacation. Like, it's like my escape, you know, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I, like I said, I just, like, got into them, and I'm like, what have you been doing with your life?
Yeah, I would say, like, another comparable would be Jennifer Armentrout. You know, her from Ball and Ash is another one. Mm-hmm. Like, that whole series is just so good. So
yep. I just started, like, the newest one that has started, like, all the Twitter and
I don't understand drama. I'm sorry, but, like, I don't care for love triangle. I'm all about poly. I'm all about, like, throuple or something.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, love triangle, I'm like, why not? Why don't you just, like, get together? It's totally fine. You know?
Well, I read the other two. And so, like, I've started this one. I'm a couple chapters in, and I'm, like, not quite seeing what the whole drama is about yet, but I'm not, like, super far into it. But I kind of feel like I know what's going to happen, and I still don't see what everybody's mad about, because I feel like it's kind of been, like, we've known it's been going that way since, like, the beginning.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but we'll see. But I am working on that one, and I'm kind of, like, trying to take my time, just because I'm like, if all these people are so mad about it, then maybe I'll be mad too, and I don't want to be mad.
Oh, no. You know, which one? I just had a conversation about this one. Scarlett Sinclair's vampire one, The King of Blood and Bane. King of Blood and Bane. I think, like, King of something. That was a good one. Like, that was a high heat, like, different world, vampires.
Yeah.
And it was, like, not that long that it was, like, I was able to binge in a day. And so, like, I need more of those fantasies. I'm like, I can just, like, binge, you know, like,
dive
into this world.
I also, I'm not, and I don't know how to say her last name, Renee, something with a name. Yeah.
Yeah.
And her, I like, I'm so obsessed with New Orleans. Like, it's crazy how obsessed I am. So as soon as I was like, what? There's vampires? It's historical? And it's New Orleans? I'm in. and that one has been really good too. And I'm, like, anxiously awaiting the next book.
Oh my God. I have the arc for the first one. That's how, like, I'm afraid, because I'm like, I hate not reading long, like, completed series.
Yes.
That's, like, my biggest pain in the butt. Like, that's my issue with Throne of Glass, and I've talked about this in another show. Whereas, like, I read Throne of Glass the first five books, and then I just, like, I had to wait for the next book in the series, and I was angry about that. Because then I forgot what happened. I'm like, I need to have, like, completed series to binge. So I'm waiting for Renee Diaz to be finished, so then I can binge them. And I'll have to be like, oh my gosh, what happened? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I do, like, I forget. Because, like, I feel like because I get into zones of, like, reading all, like, fantasy or all this, then, like, they do start to blend together a little bit, and then I kind of forget, and then I get, like, really upset. It's like, all of a sudden, it's like 3 years later, I'm like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
That book.
Oh, it's so good. So, Natalie, tell us where you can find you online.
You can find me usually on my Instagram, which I believe it's Nat Kanya Writes, or maybe it's Natalie Kanya Writes, one of those two. And sometimes on Twitter, but Twitter is kind of a hellscape really lately. So I'm not on there as much as I used to be. And I want to try to do TikTok, but I'm really lazy.
It's okay.
So you'll sometimes find me on TikTok.
That sounds good. Thank you, Natalie, for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. This was so much fun.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For a list of books mentioned and other romance recommendations, please visit whatyourwrenextblog.com. Did you know you can purchase audiobooks directly from your favorite local bookstore? With LibroFM, you can pick up more than 250,000 audiobooks, including bestsellers and recommendations from real booksellers. You'll get the same audiobooks at the same price as the largest audiobook company, you know the name, but you'll be part of a different story, one that supports the local community. If you're new to audiobooks, they're the perfect way to squeeze more reading into your busy life. Listen with the free LibroFM app while you do your chores, walk the dog, relax at home. If you already love audiobooks and don't know what to listen next, check out recommendations from people who know the best booksellers. The Watch Your Next podcast has a special offer for our listeners. Get two audiobooks on LibroFM for the price of one with your first month membership. Use code WATCHYOURNEXT. The offer is valid only for new members in Canada and the U.S. The Watch Your Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Please visit frolic.media/podcast to discover new shows to tune in. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? Watch Your Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit watchyournextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship package for you. Thank you once for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.